Blog Talk Radio.
This is JJ Bomber. You are listening to Well Armed Radio.
Good evening, sheepdogs. Welcome to Well Armed Radio, where freedom is our best friend. Thank you for joining us in our weekly, vigorous, relentless, and hopefully ruthless pursuit of freedom. We are broadcasting live from the very Well Armed studio in New Berlin, Wisconsin. It's my pleasure to speak with the most informed gun owners in the state. That would be you guys. You are your community's finest. With a face for radio and a voice for silent movies, my name is Nick Clark. I'm the president of Wisconsin Carry and the host of Well Armed Radio, and encourage you to be part of the show with your calls, ideas, questions, comment, criticism, participation. 563-999-3787 is the studio number here. 563-999-3787. We'll get you on through to the Blog Talk switchboard where I will pick you up and put you on the air. Start the show with the usual warning, no sacred cows here. And first 50 minutes of the show, as always, open line, which people take care of or take advantage of because we have not too many live listeners. Most people catch the show by podcast. And so I thought we had some good shows last few weeks. Numbers are down. I don't know if it's – I think part of it could be weather. I mean, in the winter is always my best numbers for listeners. But numbers were down the past couple weeks. And I figured probably just more people getting back outside, things opening up, people got more stuff to do. And it could be – I've also wondered – I see we've – I'll say hi to my friends here in the chat. We've got Lon from – Wassa and Ralph from Pleasant Prairie in the chat tonight. Great to have you guys both with. I'm kind of curious. I it's probably a bit rude. Because so many people catch the show from podcast instead of from the live broadcast, I get a little bit flippant with the live scheduling the live shows. I don't end up doing it at a regular time, but I want to get back to that. And it's not fair to the people listen live if they're trying to plan to hear the show and. Some weeks it's 7:30 and some weeks it's 8:30. But I will say this, it's probably going to be 8:30 is probably going to be the usual starting time. Tonight I was out walking the dog and I was late. So then I was going to start at 9. But see, Blog Talk only gives me the option to do 8:30, 9, 9:30 or any other straight hour or the half. It doesn't give me the option to go in the middle at a 45. So I was like, well, I don't want to sit around and wait until 9 o'clock to start the show. So threw it up there and at 8:30, and we'll see. I put 90 minutes because I'm not going to go the full 90. I put 90 just in case I went over the 60 because I didn't know if they were going to be 60 minutes when you put in 60 from the time the show was scheduled to start or the time that the show actually starts. So anyway, enough of that. Starting this March 28th here, we're almost through March into April, and spring is somewhere to be found out there. We had a not too bad of a week. Yesterday was a little bit rainy here in our part of the state, and then it kind of the forecast I was off quite a bit. They were saying rain yesterday morning, maybe a break in the afternoon, then rain back in the evening, and it rained in the morning, didn't rain again here, and maybe a sprinkle, but here the rest of the day it was pretty nice. So well, I say pretty nice, it wasn't too bad. It was a little chilly, but we just took the dog for our Saturday hike in the Kettle Moraine, kind of getting eager for yacht season to start. I think next weekend, probably the first weekend I get the yacht out for the year. So hiking season, that's what we do. Saturdays during the winter, we hike with the dog. Saturdays my only free time. Saturdays during the winter, we hiked with the dog, and then Saturdays in the summer, we're on the yacht all day. And so it kind of works out well because, oh my gosh, Lon said they had snow this morning in Wausau. Yeah, it was cold. I mean, it got cold last night, but did you get any accumulation, Lon? I'm curious if you just had some flurries or if you got some accumulation. I think next weekend's supposed to be 60s in the southern part of the state, so that'll probably be gone quickly, but the snow this time of year is kind of a punch in the groin. It's just like we're done with it. It's not going to stick around. Good for nothing. Can't do any winter sports with it. He said a quarter of an inch. So, well, here's what we get in this part of the state, and this is really annoying. In the southern part of the state, if we get a quarter of an inch of snow this time of year, they throw down a half inch of salt on top of it. And it's annoying as shit because you get some good rain, you wash the salt off the roads, and then you get a dusting of snow and boom, quarter inch of snow, half inch of salt thrown down on it. And then the roads are salty again for, you know, 2-3 weeks until you get a nice cleansing rain to clear off the roads. But yeah, otherwise it was a good weekend. It was my fiance's birthday on Friday. And so I got her a new Acura 2022 Acura MDX Type S for her birthday. So I have a hard time sitting on surprises. So I ordered that car for her back in January, May. Yeah, I think it was sometime in January. I think it was early January I ordered that car for her. And so I've been keeping it a secret. I mean, I told her, my stepdaughters, again, they're not officially stepdaughters because my fiance and I aren't married, but so I told them, but it's just, and I enlisted my daughter, Kayla, she's 18, she's a senior in high school. I enlisted her help to pop the surprise to Kim. So the car is still ordered. She didn't get to actually take delivery because the Acura started producing this 2022 MDX is a new model year. And they started producing the regular version, the standard Acura MDX 2022, but the Type S is coming out. It's the supercharged. It's one that's got a supercharged souped up motor and some Brembo brakes and a higher end speaker, 25 speaker sound system, just a little bit. It's just their highest end package and with the turbocharged engine. So that was Friday. Saturday took a hike. I tell you, it kind of works out well with the way that we schedule our leisure activities. We were hiking with the dog on Saturday. We got done and we probably pulled at least 6 ticks off of him while we're kind of tailgating at the end of our hike. So that's a good motivator for us to get hiking season over with and get the yachting season to start with. Cause once the dog starts to pick up ticks, then, not as much. I mean, we still will do the hikes. On Saturday, we were hiking the Southern Kettle Moraine. There was some what they call mountain bike connector trails. There's these connector trails that connect the John Muir Trails and the Nordic Trails, which is in LaGrange, to the Emma Carlin Trails, which are mountain biking trails that are up more by Palmyra Eagle area. And so I think they're, 9-mile connector trails or something like that. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's a little shorter than that. So they've got these connector trails for the mountain bikes, but you can think of it, mountain bikes, you just got your little narrow tire. And so they're very narrow, narrower than the Ice Age Trail. And then much, much narrower than like the Moraine Ridge Trails, which are snowmobile and horse trails. The snowmobile trails are always the widest. And then the Ice Age Trail is typically, 3-4 feet wide, trampled down. And then, but these connector trails for the mountain bikes, they're super narrow. I mean, they're like a foot wide or less. So that was part of the problem. Those narrow trails, the dog tends to be more in the medium grass, medium to short grass off to the side of the trail. And then there was a couple spots we stepped off the trail to take a picture. But yeah, I mean, the dog was just, again, not covered in ticks, but we did flick 6 of them off of him while we were sitting there tailgating and brushing them out afterwards. So and I'm wondering, like, Lon, you're up in Wausau. I mean, you guys still get still get colder later. So I'm wondering if your tick season starts later or if you're, and plus you guys have like deer ticks up there. Down here, we just have these wood ticks, which I guess are not quite as prolific with their carrying Lyme disease. I guess deer ticks are more of the Lyme disease carriers and wood ticks are more tending to be Lyme disease carriers. So, but anyway, since we don't have a long show going tonight, we'll cut to the chase here. So I'm wondering if we are screwed. It's never good to, you know, trying to motivate people, trying to get people enthusiastic, trying to drive support for something by criticizing people isn't a great tactic. Alon says ticks are out up there too. So, yeah, I guess that's it's now tick season. Mosquitoes won't be far behind. But so I sit here and I look at where we are as a country, and I get a little bit frustrated because on one hand, everybody I talk to is kind of beside themselves when it comes to the stolen election in November. I was talking to my insurance guy, my business insurance guy on Friday, maybe it was Thursday. And before we got down to business, we were just kind of, he's like, you know, how things been? I haven't talked to him in a few months. And I was just, we were both remarking back and forth about how frustrated we are with the state of the country, with the stolen election. And, you know, I don't think of him as a super political guy, but it may be. I don't know him as that. I mean, our relationship started professionally. And so, but yeah, he was just beside himself and he's talking about, yeah, we need term limits and we need this. And he's, you know, how do we get free and fair elections? And he said that everybody he talks to feels the same way. And he's, look, I tend to run in pretty conservative circles as far as my friends go, but he has a much broader friend social circle. Cause back even when I was on fascist book, before I got banned from fascist book, I purged even all my high school friends. If they were liberals, I mean, just no offense, take offense if you want. I'm not doing that. I don't believe in it. I believe that progressive liberal government policy is immoral. And I back that up. I backed it up on the show here. I think it's based upon inequity. It's based upon discrimination. It's based upon some individuals believing that they should have authority over others, which not respecting individuals' rights, but thinking that some people are smarter than others. And you tell them, I think that it's involves taking the fruits of some people's labor to give to other people, which is immoral. And the Pilgrims figured this out. You go back to read the book on Plymouth, Plymouth Plantation I'm going to forget the name of the pilgrim who, William, well, hell, let's Google it here. William Bradford. I think it's William Bradford of Plymouth Plantation. Yes, William Bradford. In the Pilgrims, when they came over here, they were, and that was a pretty homogenous group. They came over here to this country and they crossed the sea, all the danger involved with that, set up a colony. And they had a central store of supplies, food, whatnot, that they all contributed to and then took from as they needed for their survival. And what they found was there was people that weren't working as hard as other people, and that led to people being angry and they barely survived because then there was the people who were industrious trying to produce for everybody. And then there was the people that weren't being industrious sitting around taking advantage of other people's labors. And it wasn't possible. I mean, everybody wasn't pulling their own weight. So it wasn't until the Pilgrims decided to separate out the land and let everybody work for themselves, keep the fruits of their own labors. You know, you grow your corn, you store your corn, it wasn't until then that they started prospering, because this is just human nature. Human nature is that there are some people, look, some people are just driven to be productive. It's just who they are. They're not comfortable if they're happiest when they're working. And some of that I think is learned. Some of that is conditioned as you grow up, but some of it is probably just genetic. It's just who you are. But other people tend to be a little bit lazier and they don't work and produce unless they have to. you probably know people like this. There are some people who, you know, they got a job and they start making money, and all of a sudden they loved it and they could buy things and they liked it. So they worked harder. They put more. Then you have other people that would work just hard enough so that they could have the bare minimum. And they, you know, I see that with, I see it with my stepson, but I mean, so people are different, but the pilgrims started to succeed when they split up the land, gave everybody their own plot and said, hey, you're on your own. I mean, you know, and people were still willing to help. I mean, nobody was prevented from helping someone else if they needed it. But then, you know, the guy who sits around and is, you know, I don't know what kind of recreation they had back in the colonial, in the settlement days, in the colonial times, you know, playing the guys that are sitting around with chewing on a straw on their, I don't even know if they had porches back then, chewing on a straw out in front of their cabin or down by the river with their feet in the water during the summer, soaking up the sun. Then winter comes, they don't have enough food to eat, and the other pilgrims who knew that they sat around doing nothing, I mean, are they going to sit there and ration their food to help out some guy who they saw sitting in the sun catching a tan for, you know, and again, I don't know what they really did for recreation back in the colonial times, but drinking mead or whatever. So on the other hand, if someone was a hard worker and they were, you know, taking care of their family and then they got injured and they couldn't get the crops out of their field, people would help them out. So people are happy to be charitable for people who deserve it. It's human nature. So again, I believe that liberalism is immoral. It doesn't work. It leads to all kinds of negative. Liberalism, progressive, it plays upon the vices of people. Envy rewards laziness. And then free market capitalism plays on people's virtues. It rewards productivity. And then that productivity motivates people to be more productive. And so it's a virtuous cycle. So for my, in terms of my social circles, and I'm going back to where my insurance agent was talking, I've kind of purged the liberals out of my social circles. I mean, I certainly still do business with some, but we don't talk politics. I mean, I don't talk politics with 99% of my clients. And, but again, my insurance agent, he probably has a larger social circle, and even all the people that he talked to, some of whom he describes as not overtly political, they're pretty upset by what's going on in this country with cancel culture and all sorts of stuff. And so I see all these people that are upset, and in some ways that's encouraging. In some ways it's encouraging to know that we are not alone. I mean, there's 80 million people, because that's about what I think Trump got, about 80 million votes, and Biden got about 62, 63 million. Whatever Hillary Clinton got, I figure Biden got probably a little bit shy of that. And I think you take the vote fraud out of it, and I bet you Trump got probably close to 80 million votes and would have won in a massive landslide. So in that respect, it's encouraging, because people saw past, and think of that with all the phony ass news media, and you sit there and you worry about it, and you worry about people falling for that, and you worry about, but there's some comfort in that people saw through that. People saw through the phony news media, and we won. Well, we did win, and it was stolen, but we won. And so that's encouraging, that the hearts and minds, you know, we are in the majority of this country as far as what people believe in and what they're willing to support. And that American spirit, that America first, that, you know, willingness to secure the borders, the willingness to, embracing the tax cuts, and saw what benefit. People saw how Trump's economy roared. When there's a tax, when the taxes go up, if Biden gets his tax increase through, you're not going to see companies giving out thousands of dollars in bonuses to every single employee. But that's what happened back when Trump's tax cuts went through. Employees got bonuses, like Fortune 500 companies giving every single person in the company $1,000 bonus or a $2,000. I mean, it was, wages were rising across the board from a tax cut. That doesn't happen with a tax increase. When taxes go up, your company's not going to turn around and say, oh, here you go, here's done. And you trust me, you ain't getting that money from Big Brother. You know, you're not going to get the same money from Big Brother that you would have got, that you got during the Trump tax cuts from bonuses, from increased wages. So people saw that. So that's the encouraging part, is that 80 million people saw it. 80 million people feel the same way we do. The voting majority, Trump won by a landslide. But that's the good side. But the bad side is it was still stolen. The Democrats are still in power. The Democrats have a monopoly of power in D.C. And so I sit here and I see all these opportunities for us to do something, and nobody's doing anything. And I said, it's not nobody's doing anything. There's just very little being done. Even locally, we've got a school board race coming up, and you know, we'll see what happens. But it's at every level of government. The liberals have infiltrated, and they're pushing their racist crap, their critical race theory, and just this bigoted racist stuff that these programs and gun control. I mean, that's coming. We are going to get gun control jammed down our throats, probably at the federal level. And so I'm even dismayed that not more people have joined the Wisconsin Carry MeWe page. I'm going to talk about that here in a second. But then I sit here and I see people on social media, and they post these memes about they're armed and they're ready and come and take my guns from my cold dead hands. And I shake my head, because people can't even stand up to the greeter at Walmart. You know, using masks as an example, there's so many ways that we could push back. And one of the ways to push back would be to say no to these mask mandates. They're bullshit. They don't work. They're unconstitutional as hell. Tony Evers can't do emergency order after emergency order for an entire year. Nothing that lasts a year is an emergency. The premise of an emergency order is because you don't have time to convene. Some of these emergency order statutes, emergency order provisions and statutes were put in place, you know, 100 years ago when there was no there was no internet. There was no communication mechanisms that could quickly disseminate information. So just getting a legislature to convene would take time. You had to jump on a horse and drive from, you know, wherever down to Madison. So that was the reason emergency powers were put in place. And that's the reason that they're only for, 60 days, emergency, the maximum time for these emergency is 60 days, because within 60 days, there's time to convene the legislature. There's time to, you know, go through the legislative process. There's time to use the separation of powers with the legislative branch and the executive branch to come up with solutions by legislation, not by executive order. And so Tony Evers' notion that, well, because the Republicans aren't doing anything, then he has to act. No, the fact that the Republicans aren't doing anything means that they don't agree with your policies. If the Republicans thought that we needed a mask mandate, we needed businesses closed, they would have convened the legislature, because they had time to do it. They would have done it. So everybody should be in agreement here that Tony Evers' executive order is absolutely unconstitutional. You've seen all the Republicans saying it. Some of them do stuff about it, try to do stuff about it, some don't. But for all these people out here who just sit here with these memes and this internet, I say, again, you can't even stand up to the greeter at Walmart, and you think you're going to stand up to tyranny. And I say to myself, save your internet machismo. People wouldn't even refuse to wear a mask. You ain't going to stand up to tyranny with your AR-15. And sadly, the fact of the matter is, and it's evidenced over the past year, I think 95% of Americans will hit their knees and obey like sheep. And that's not hyperbole. My percentage might be slightly off, but I think that's a fact. And this is not directed at any of us, you know, people individually, because I don't know. You know, I've got a couple guys here live, Lon and Ralph. You know, I don't know how you – but – and if there's people who think that the masks help – fine. You got to go with what you feel. If that's, I think they've done absolutely nothing. Cloth masks, I think, do absolutely nothing to stop the spread of coronavirus. Absolutely nothing. I don't think they make one bit of difference, the cloth masks. I think had there been no mask mandates, they would have, first off, nobody wears them right. Second off, the cloth doesn't filter out the virus. And besides, your breath comes around the sides. So all those things. Whether masks actually work is a different question. Mask mandates certainly do not. There's zero evidence that mask mandates do anything at all to slow the spread of COVID. But look, if people want to just do it to take the chance because they're compromised immune system and they just say, fine. I mean, it's a free country. Wear a fucking mask all you want. You wear a mask. Wear a mask for the rest of your life. It's a free country. But I'm speaking to the people who think the mask mandate is bullshit, but they throw a mask on anyway because, you know, they don't want to make waves. I have yet to put a mask on this pretty little face of mine. Not once. I go in stores. The only place I can't go because they won't let me in is Costco. I did go in Costco as of a couple months ago. I would still go in Costco. And then they changed their policy from telling you had to wear a mask, but if you refused and said you were exempt, they'd still let you in, to they wouldn't even let you in. They make you wear a face. Either they'll give you a face shield or they won't let you in without a face covering. And so I don't go to Costco anymore. But I have not put a mask on my face a single time. But, and again, for the people who want to wear a mask, I'm not even talking to you, but for the people who think the masks are bullshit, but you wore it anyway, if you can't even stand up to the greeter at Walmart who tells you to put a mask on, do you think you're going to stand up to tyranny at all in any regard, in any substantive way? So again, I don't know how everybody individually has handled themselves over the past year or what risk factors you have, but look around. People stuck on their fucking communist face diaper of obedience like little lemmings just because some dumb fucking liar bureaucrat, Tony Evers, Governor Skeletor, told them to. You know, some people grumbled about it. And some did it with glee and pride. Some people, it was virtue signaling. They were so proud to wear their mask. But almost everyone bent knee like serfs and wore their mask. Many conservatives talk tough and they throw up bravado memes on Facebook like a 2021 Paul Revere. But then they kowtow like sheep to actually do so. Look, I'm not saying for you to go protest in D.C. and storm the Capitol or... People won't even refuse to wear a mask, and you think that they're going to take up arms to defend a tyrannical government whenever it comes to that point? Not a freaking chance. And then, so, I mean, that's disappointing to all the conservatives who seem to care so much about freedom. And they're so concerned. And so I'm on a little bit of a rant here tonight. The conservatives who care so much about freedom and they're so concerned about cancel culture and censorship and biased media, they're so concerned they can't even open a damn MeWe page to have an alternative to send the message to Fascist Book that you are so appalled by their removal of Trump and their removal of other conservatives and their content manipulation through algorithms and their hundreds of millions of dollars that Fascist Book and Kuckerberg donated to steal your election, not in Atlanta, in Green freaking Bay, Wisconsin. Kuckerberg donated money up there to these vote, true the vote efforts that, I mean, if you haven't seen this, you got to go read conservative media, listen to conservative talkers and WisconsinSpotlight.com and EmpowerWisconsin.com where they're doing these open records in Green Bay. We talked about this in the show. In Green Bay, groups funded by Kuckerberg's money, private groups had access to the central count in Green Bay where all of the mail-in ballots were stored, and they were going through and curing mail-in ballots that had errors, quote, curing mail-in ballots with errors. I'm sure they were curing all those for Donald Trump. I mean, seriously. But that's what we had in Green Bay, not Atlanta. This is Green Bay. Stealing an election right under your nose here in Wisconsin. And people are so upset by all this, but they can't even open a MeWe page. I mean, they say, wow, with patriots like you, how do we lose? With freedom fighters like you sitting back and sucking on the fascist book tit, hoping you don't end up with your little wrist slap in Facebook jail for 10 days. Yeah, you're a real freedom fighter, you. I mean, I'm not asking people to close their fascist book account. I mean, oh God, the horror. How are you going to see what your friends had for dinner? I'm saying, fine, keep your Facebook page, but open a MeWe account. Those numbers of people joining MeWe in the App Store, in the Google Play Store, people see those. They see how many people have those apps. So I'm not saying to close your fascist book page. Just take the step to send a message and open a MeWe page. Wisconsin Carry, this is my frustration. Wisconsin Carry has 12,500 people on our Facebook page and 1,100 on MeWe. And there you go, 8%. 8% of the people who followed us on Facebook could go through the slightest bit of effort to demonstrate your disapproval with fascist books. And I'm not talking about me. Forget that Nick was banned, that Trump was banned, and all kinds of other conservatives were banned, and that the money that Zuckerberg and fascist book make off of you by selling your data to third parties, that money went to your state to defeat your presidential choice, to steal your election. And you can't even start a MeWe page to demonstrate and to send a shot across the bow. You know, I saw this back with Starbucks when Starbucks told gun owners to piss off and that they weren't welcome in there. Not just open carriers. Starbucks said guns don't belong in coffee shops. And all everybody threw their hate. Oh, you open carriers are going to ruin it. You ruined it for everybody. And I'm still going to drink my Starbucks. I'm just going to conceal. And, you know, before Starbucks did that several years back, whatever year that was, I don't know if it was 2012 or 2013. Businesses were so afraid. You might not remember this. Businesses were super afraid to cross gun owners because they were worried about getting boycotted. They saw what happened to like Smith & Wesson and you didn't cross gun owners. But Starbucks did, and Starbucks got away with it. And I said this years ago. I said this in 2013 when it happened, or was it 2014? I said it when it happened. I said the willingness of gun owners to let Starbucks kick dirt in your face, tell you guns don't belong in coffee shops, and you keep going and spending your $7.50 on a fucking coffee from Starbucks, you're sending a terrible precedent. And what happened after that? After Starbucks did it, then you saw many other mainstream large retailers doing the same because they saw that Starbucks didn't suffer the consequences. Target, Chipotle. So when you sit here and you worry about your loss of freedoms, I got to say to people, and again, this isn't, I'm not painting with a broad brush. You know who you are. If 50% of the people into Walmart, Meijer, refuse to wear a mask, they just walked up to the greeter and said that they're exempt. These stupid face mask mandates would be gone. If 10% of the people, I go in Meijer and I look at the guy right in the face, the greeter, and he says, you have to wear a mask. I look at him right in the face. I say, I'm exempt. And I walk in without a mask. And that's what I've done every week for the past, you know, many months. During the summer months, I'm too busy. I pay someone to do my grocery shopping, but over the winter months here, I've been going in every week and I tell them I'm exempt and I go do my shopping without a mask. If 10% of the people going into Walmart, into Meijer, the people who disagree with the mandate, were just willing to stand up to the greeter at Meijer and say, I'm exempt and refuse to wear the mask, everybody would start doing it. You'd be in the store and someone would come up to you and they'd say, hey, how come you're not wearing a mask? You say, I just tell them I'm exempt. That's what happened at my gym. When I was at my gym, when they first passed the mask mandate, I refused to wear one. Everybody had one on when they go in. Yeah, they'd kind of pull it down sometimes once I got in the back, but I refused to wear one. And then people saw me without one and then they'd start going without one. They used to have the guy walking around the gym telling people to put their masks on. But eventually so many people weren't wearing a mask that they couldn't enforce it. They just gave up. And then you go to my gym now, nobody wears a mask. Like I said, 90% of the people don't have a mask on because that's all it takes is a few people refusing. But you go to Meijer, you go to Walmart, and like I'm the only one I see with Home Depot. I'm the only one not wearing a mask. Every once in a while I see one other person. But if 10% of the people were in there weren't wearing masks, hell, put the mask on when you walk in the door and take it off when you get past the greeter. If you don't have the balls to stand up to the greeter, if the greeter at Walmart or the greeter at Meijer intimidates you so much that you don't have the balls to look them in the face and say I'm exempt, then wear your communist face diaper of obedience into the store. And once you get in the store, take it off. Make them come tell you to put it on. Be a pain in their ass. make it difficult for them. Just offer some token resistance and it'll have benefits for freedom. So don't blame liberals. Don't blame squishy Republicans. Look in the damn mirror. You can't even burn yourself with a duplicate social media page, but you want politicians in Madison to fight the Democrat machine. And before you say, oh, Nick, of course you're now you're all me, we, gung ho. You got banned from Facebook. Well, I have news for you. In July 2020, Twitter started massively censoring Trump and other conservatives. And I saw a news article about Parler. I immediately joined Parler, created a Wisconsin Carry group page on Parler. And go look at Wisconsin Carry's Parler page. I joined July 4th, 2020. There was an article in Fox News I saw that Parler was this great new thing for conservatives. And I immediately got on it because I wanted to be part of that momentum. And that was important. I knew what was coming. I saw momentum and I got behind it. And then days later, I started strongly and regularly pushing people to establish an alternative presence on MeWe. I created a MeWe page. I posted a sticky post to the Wisconsin Carry Facebook page. I saw this coming from a mile away. I knew it would only be a matter of time before Wisconsin Carry would get seriously affected by fascist books, policies. And so my strategy started before I was banned from Facebook, not after. It's not reactionary. It's not, well, now that I can't have fascist book, let's all switch. I joined MeWe in 2018, and I started pushing it hard with a Wisconsin Carry page in the summer of 2020. Trying to create that alternative presence because I knew Facebook wasn't going to be a long-term thing that you could count on as a conservative. Before Trump was banned from Twitter, before Trump was banned from fascist book, I saw it coming. And but now you guys, have, and I say you guys, people that haven't established a page on MeWe or Parler, you've seen it happen. You didn't have to. Maybe in July you thought, oh, Nick, you're just being over, you know, you're overreacting. We don't need to. Facebook will always be here for Wisconsin Carry to leverage. You've now seen it happen. You've seen the president get booted off of fascist book. You've seen the president get booted off of Twitter. And you're still on. And again, I'm not criticizing people. If I wasn't booted off fascist book, I'd still have my fascist book account. But I would be using it every single day to push people to MeWe, to push people to Parler. So for the people who haven't joined MeWe, but you're all upset about what's going on in this country and tech censorship, what the fuck is wrong with you? Do you not have a patriotic bone in your body, or have you just given up, or is creating another account on a different social media platform that's more freedom-minded too much work for you? Is that too much effort to stand up for freedom? Again, or did you give up, or have you just waved the white flag and surrendered? I mean, or if it's something else, what? I mean, what are people waiting for? Are you waiting for fascist book to change? Are you waiting for fascist book to say, oh, look at all these millions of people that switched over to MeWe already. We're going to change. You're an idiot. I mean, if half the people, if 50 million people went to MeWe, but whatever went, I don't know if it's 10 or 12 million that went, it wasn't enough to really make a big push difference. I can only hope that Trump's social media network finally becomes a legit challenge to fascist book. I mean, you guys have heard this. I talked about the show last week. Trump is talking about starting his own social media network. And I hope that it becomes a legitimate challenger to fascist book, to Facebook. But this is what we're up against, folks. Lazy people. They want stuff. They want freedom, but they aren't willing to act to get it. And for those that did open a MeWe account, great. Thank you. I mean, I encourage you to check it frequently to establish a more viable alternative to Facebook. But you've done more than 92% have. And if you want to know why liberals always win, there you go. Because only 8% of people in Wisconsin Carry, which should be people you would think that are very, very freedom-minded, gun owners, only 8% of them thought it was important enough to start a MeWe page. That was at Wisconsin Carry's repeated request. So, I mean, that's the discouraging part. And the encouraging part, I talked to my insurance guy, and I know there's 80 million people that are just as pissed off as we are. Well, I shouldn't say just as pissed off, because if they were just as pissed off, they would do something like create a MeWe page. But there's 80 million people who share our frustration. Unfortunately, they don't share our motivation to do something about it necessarily. But on the other side of things, So that's encouraging that there's 80 million people like us. It's discouraging that so many of them aren't even willing to take a little tiny step to do something about it. Some more thoughts as this pandemic winds down. You know, on many levels, I think that the government made this pandemic so much worse. Some of these levels we even have proof of. I mean, even if the fake news media refuses to report and acknowledge them, I mean, we can safely say they were mistakes. Governor Cuomo ordering nursing homes to admit patients who've already tested positive for COVID virus. I mean, that's like storing dog food in the same room you lock up your dog during the day. I mean, it's like storing gasoline in the same room in your house that you have a fireplace. It's just, it was a huge mistake. And remember how Governor Cuomo was cited as, oh, he's the gold standard for COVID responses because the COVID's so bad in New York. Many other states followed suit. You're now finding out that many other states, Michigan, Wisconsin, Minnesota, they did the same thing. They were following Cuomo's lead with the nursing home mistakes. I think more people died because of what government – I think if government had done nothing, fewer people would have died. And look, there's no question in my mind the death numbers are massively inflated. Everybody knows that. Any honest person knows that. But even of the legit deaths from COVID, I think those were higher – because of what the government did. If the government had done nothing, I think those would have been lower too. But there's other things that are going to be mistakes that we'll never know, things that happen as a result of COVID that we just won't recognize. And then there are other things that you can have a pretty good idea were mistakes, but no way to prove it. And I think slowing the spread last March, 2 weeks to slow the spread, I think slowing the spread resulted in more of a surge in the fall than we otherwise would have had. I think we would have immediately or I think we should have immediately advised senior citizens to be careful, to take all the necessary precautions, but we should have kept kids in school, let them get it, let the spring breakers 2020 party their asses off and all get COVID, and then take it back to their college classes and give it to all the other young people and let them all get their herd immunity. But here's another observation. I think one of the worst effects of the government's response to this pandemic is the way that it damaged the relationships between people. I mean, remember back in March of last year, April last year, you had neighbor ratting on neighbor. They wouldn't have done that if not for the government dictates. I saw it on my fascist book feed back when I was still on Facebook. I have friends, Republican friends, who were on Facebook saying, my neighbors have 10 kids over in their yard. This was back in April. Do you think I should call the police? I mean, they felt empowered by the government mandate. The dictates of the government's coming down gave people moral, they thought they had moral authority to condemn their neighbors for continuing to live free. But here's what I thought of this past week. I was reading some information a client of mine passed along. One of my clients is a condominium association, and they were, I was on their website, and they were talking about things that they did back in March and April. And I instantly felt this condominium, was talking about the precautions they took for COVID last year in March, April. And I instantly felt defensive. I instantly felt like being critical of them. And why is the question? Because look, I didn't live in this condominium association. It wasn't me. But I think when we had this one size fits all mandate from government, when government decided to trample on my freedoms and your freedoms, because the risk assessment of those in government or the risk tolerance of those in government who happen to be 60-plus-year-old, unhealthy people, their risk tolerance, their risk assessment was different than I would have made for myself and that other people's might have made for themselves. So that resulted in me having to condemn the nature of the mandates and instead of just the fact that it was a mandate. So, we conservatives, we tried to toe this line. We tried to point out, look, if you want to wear a mask, go ahead, but just don't force me to. But then I find myself also being snarky to people who are wearing the masks, not knowing who's wearing the mask by choice and who's wearing the mask because they are only because they're mandated. But, we had to sit there and because the mandates got pushed on us all, then we started having to be critical of people who so easily embraced the mandates because that enabled them to be pushed on people who didn't want them. And so what do I always say? I say freedom had a solution here. I know that people bowing down to the dictates enables more dictates. So then I have to criticize the choice that others make because I feel like that's what you have to do to build a consensus to reject the mandates. I mean, I could give a fuck if people want to wear a mask. I only care if it's being forced on me. Again, go ahead and wear a mask for the rest of your life. But because everyone was going along with it, then I have to challenge the behavior itself, not just challenge the mandate, but challenge the behavior itself to try to get more people to, I mean, clearly not enough people hated the communist face diaper of obedience enough to push back. So you understand what I'm saying? When the mandate was forced, if masks were a choice, I would have respected anybody's choice to wear one because there was no reason not to respect it. It didn't affect me. But when everybody went along with the mandate so easy, then you have to be slappy against the mandate itself and against people going along with it so easy. So you do have to criticize people wearing a mask because they're enabling these dictators like Evers to pass more mandates. When they see the people obey, what do? They demand more obedience. So that this was the other effect of government. I think that government this past year, I think it damaged the relationship between people deeply. It made people who fear getting sick feel like their fear gives them the right to dictate other people's behaviors, other people's choices. And it's left me having to criticize their behavior because that enables the theft of my rights. It kind of blurred that line of my rights versus your rights. I mean, blurred it, hell, it obliterated it. But I think this was terribly damaging. And I think that that's a precedent set that will have generations lasting implications. I mean, we turned the entire country, we turned a huge number of people into germaphobes. I used to kind of be a germaphobe. But when I saw everybody else turning into germaphobes, I realized it's not sustainable. And so this past year, I got over my germaphobia. I really did. I never wore a mask. I was like, if I'm going to get it, I'm going to get it. I just accepted the risks of life. But once people were enabled once people were scared to thinking that they could get sick and then enabled to think they could influence someone else's behavior to keep them from getting sick, to embrace their germophobia, that really harmed the relationship between people. Flycatch here just joined us in the chat, and he says, wearing a mask is a sign of submission and Americans embraced it. Hell yeah, they did. People rolled over, even conservatives who were disgusted by the mask mandates. They rolled over and they wore them. They wear them into mire. They say, well, it's a private business. You know, you have to push back. When you walk into a store, look that greeter in the face and say, I'm exempt. Trust me, they'll let you in, except for Costco. Costco won't let you in. Meijer, Home Depot, they don't say anything. Most of them don't say anything. Pick and Save, they don't say anything. Walmart says something. Meijer, look them right in the face and tell them you're exempt and walk in. If the manager comes chasing you down, look at the manager and say, I'm exempt. And if the manager says, well, you have to leave, then put the face diaper on and walk away. And as soon as you're out of sight of that manager, take the face diaper back off. Because you know what? When other people see you without the mask, they'll be more likely to take off their stupid mask. Yeah, Menards. Lon's another good one. Lon said Menards. Yeah, Menards, you can't go in. Menards will not let you in. They will call the police on you. I haven't been in Menards since. I used to spend a good deal of money in Menards. I just go to Home Depot. Home Depot lets me in without a mask. But again, if 10% of the people going into Home Depot didn't wear a mask, you'd get in there and the other 80%, 90% of people in there would be like, man, that guy's not wearing a mask. And they'd take theirs off. They'd see a guy without it and say, well, he's not getting kicked out. I'll just take mine off. And then no one knows you. You don't even have to tell someone you were exempt. And if the manager of Home Depot is walking through and everybody's got their mask off, what are they going to say? Everybody put your mask on? No, they're not going to do it. This happened at my gym. At my gym, I never wore a mask. They initially just let you verbally say you were exempt. Other people would ask me, hey, why aren't you wearing a mask? And I would tell them, I was like, I just told them I'm exempt. So then they started saying that they were exempt. And all of a sudden you got 10, 15% of the people weren't wearing masks. And then it got to the point where then they made people sign a waiver. If you wanted to not wear a mask, you had to sign a waiver so that the gym had it documented that you were exempt. They didn't make you show any medical proof because that's private information. You don't have to show anybody your private medical information. But they made people sign a waiver. And then at first, then they made you wear these orange stickers so that you had, so they knew that you had signed the waiver and that you were exempt. But then they ran out of stickers. But so now more and more people just started not wearing the mask. And now there's people that don't wear the mask and they don't even have, they haven't even signed the waiver at the gym. And I'm telling you now, 90% of the people at the gym don't wear a mask. If you, if the same thing happened at Menards, or not Menards, because they're Nazis, mask Nazis. If the same thing happened at Home Depot, at Meijer, at Pick and Save, at Walmart, the mandate would be over. But people put it on and obeyed like little sheep, and then the mandate gets more effective, more teeth. So this was terribly damaging. I think it sets precedents that will have generations lasting implications. And if you respect freedom, that's the best way to preserve the relationship between people. If I hadn't been forced to do things I didn't want to be forced to do, I wouldn't have seen the choices that a private entity made and felt sour towards them. But I was forced into all kinds of things I didn't agree with. And that's made me less compassionate to other people's choices. Government hasn't helped us through this pandemic. It's harmed us through it. Government has harmed our businesses, harmed our standard of living, harmed our psychological health, harmed our interpersonal relationships, harmed our kids' futures, harmed our kids' education. Government did that. The coronavirus didn't do it. And look, my dad died from COVID, but I think he'd be alive. Here's our thing. Government and media in demonizing hydroxychloroquine. My dad was sick with COVID for 5 days. Now, my dad had the risk factors. He was overweight, had high blood pressure, and he was diabetic, type 2 diabetic. When he first got it, I knew it wouldn't be good if my dad got it. But I believe to this day that if my dad had gotten hydroxychloroquine right away, because for 5 days he had it, and he said, mostly mild symptoms, just a cough and fever. And then his doctor prophylactically wanted to put him on antibiotics to make sure he didn't end up with pneumonia or something. Well, antibiotics don't do shit for a virus. They kill your gut biome. Your GI, your gut probiotics, the bacteria in your gut are part of your immune system. But then you get dehydrated, then you're malnourished because you've killed your gut biome and you're not getting good nutrition. Within 2 days of my dad getting put on antibiotics and prednisone is a steroid that lowers inflammation, but it also lowers your immune response. So my dad has a virus. They give him antibiotics that don't do shit for a virus, and they kill your immune system. Give him prednisone that lowers your immune system. 2 days later, he's in the hospital. A week later, he's on a ventilator. 2 days later, he's dead. If he'd have gotten hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin right away, I believe my dad would have lived. The government was the reason he didn't get it. Flycatch says, just wait until the illegals invading our southern border spread their toxicity in the inner cities. I'm getting to that next. We're 2 seconds away from that one. So, yeah, all the harm that's been done this past year, it was done by government, not by the virus. It's been done by government. And whether we're never going to get a full and honest accounting of it because the media is a bunch of phonies. And here's the thing with – this is the thing with the face diapers – it's also the face diaper is also a way that government convinces itself that it wasn't wrong to shut things down back last spring because, we can open back up as long as you wear a mask. Because if you just open back up, that's an admission that you never should have closed in the first place. If you stay open, COVID was worse in the fall than it was in the spring. But why did we close down in the spring and not in the fall? Because COVID was worse in the fall than in the spring. Well, in the fall, we were wearing masks. That's what they kept saying is bullshit. The masks didn't do shit. The masks were the justification that they could use because they knew we couldn't stay closed. So they were the symbolic indicator that, we can open now because we're wearing masks. Now we can open. It was a distraction to trick people to not realize that in essence, the shutdowns in the spring were a complete farce. They never should have happened. So immigration, I'm sorry, but I think Republicans are getting played like fiddles by the Democrats on immigration. I mean, sure, Democrats don't want the border crisis being shown in the media. But that's what we got going on right now down in Texas and Arizona and New Mexico. We've got a border crisis. There's a surge of illegal immigrants because they all thought that Biden said, come on up. But these Republicans going down to the border, Ted Cruz, Ron Johnson, posting shocking pictures of illegal aliens stacked up in cages in squalid conditions. That's only going to result in one thing, because Republicans have zero power in Washington, D.C. All Republicans are doing by generating outrage over the illegal immigration crisis is giving Democrats in D.C. leverage and moral authority to spend billions of dollars making red carpet facilities and a massive immigrant import machine at the border. Democrats didn't want this crisis to be exposed. I don't think they did down at the border. But now that it is, remember, Democrats will never let a crisis go to waste. And mark my words, Democrats will introduce bills spending billions of dollars to create facilities and programs for these people, these illegal aliens crossing the border. And even though they can't pass them without Republican, or excuse me, even though they can pass them without Republican support, if Republicans don't support these bills that the Democrats will be introduced, not only will the Democrats pass them anyway, but they'll demonize Republicans for not wanting to, quote, help the children. So I ask myself, what's the Republican endgame here? All the Republicans are doing their best to get exposure, to expose this situation down at the border. And they think that they're winning by doing so. But again, I have to ask, what's the Republican endgame? Do they really think the Obama-Harris administration, by exposing all this crisis, by the Republicans exposing this crisis at the border and forcing the Democrats' hand, forcing the media's hand to expose the crisis at the border, do Republicans really think the Obama-Harris administration is going to say, well, shit, we better stop illegal immigration quickly because of this crisis and it's in the media and it's making us look bad? Hell no. The Democrats will use the crisis now that it's getting play in the mainstream media. They're going to use the crisis to advance their political endgame. This is just another example of Republicans trying to win by playing politics, while Democrats always have a strategy to leverage the crisis. Republicans, except for Trump, for years, have thought they could win by making Democrats look bad in the media and expecting voters are just going to flock to the polls to elect Republicans at the next election. But I got a news flash for Republicans. The Democrats own the media, and the Democrats aren't worried about losing elections because they realized how easy it is for them to steal an election. So these Republicans that are down there exposing this crisis at the border, you better have a strategy to solve the problem, Republicans, without Democrat support. You better have a strategy to stop illegal immigration yourself, because without that, all this effort by all these Republicans to make Democrats look bad by exposing this crisis at the border, it's going to, trying to wag the media dog to expose it, it's going to backfire on you. When the American public is exposed to this horror of, you know, children drowning in the Rio Grande River trying to get to this country, Republicans think exposing that crisis is going to force the Democrats to slow illegal immigration. They're so wrong. The Democrats are going to be two steps ahead of you. The Democrats are going to pass a bill to build a bridge across the Rio Grande so that children don't drown in it. We've seen this over and over, how Republicans get rolled. Republicans see people drowning in the Rio Grande trying to get here. They put it on the media to generate outrage so that they think that they can use that to make Democrats look bad. And Democrats never sit back and run from the problem. Democrats propose government to fix that problem. And then if Republicans don't go along with it, then the Republicans are the ones that are trying to kill babies. But that's a perfect example. Republicans would see a body floating down the Rio Grande River, take a video and post it to social media and try to get the media to cover it and generate outrage. And what ends up happening? What ends up happening is the Democrats will take that crisis. They will pivot, suggest a remedy, building a bridge across the Rio Grande so little kids don't drown in the river. And Republicans for all their generating outrage, will have gotten played and will be in an even worse position because now we got a bridge across the river. And again, I'm using the bridge as one example. There'll be others. I mean, but this crisis at the border and the Republicans exposing it in the media, all that's going to happen from that is the Democrats are going to be more motivated and more quick acting to build housing facilities at the border to make it easier. And see, Purple Pill says Democrats and Republicans are two heads of the same snake. No, I don't agree with that. Democrats are immoral, communist desiring, and Republicans are squishy, not knowing how to fight pussies. Most Republicans, some know how to fight. But anyway, so this crisis at the border, it's going to backfire on the Republicans if they don't have a solution. And my fear is that Republicans don't have a solution. And what is the solution? Look, I don't know. I'm not a Republican in power, but maybe Texas can build the wall privately. Maybe Texas can send National Guard and get this battle into court. Maybe border states can call states of emergency and do things to stop this immigration. But this effort to get shocking pictures in the press and think that they'll gin up momentum for Biden to do something different is intellectually deficient. I suspect doing nothing and letting the immigrants who got here phone back to their home country and tell them how horrible it was, don't come, would have done more to slow the caravans of migrants than anything that Democrats are going to do. So yeah, so we'll see how this happens. But I mean, look, these states of emergency, Texas should declare a state of emergency, send the National Guard down to the border, and yeah, it'll probably end up in court. But if Republicans started using the Democrat tactics against the Democrats, we'll see how quickly Democrats would then want to move to limit emergency powers in the future, which would be a good thing. But instead, I think Republicans have no strategy. I think they're going to get rolled, and I think the Democrats are going to use the crisis at the border to advance their political agenda, because we've seen that over and over and over again. Good the Democrats are at doing that. The old cliche that we've heard over and over is that Republicans are playing checkers while the Democrats are playing chess, and then people kept saying, you know, Trump was 4D chess. But I think Trump did know how. Trump did know how to roll the Democrats. We saw that happen over and over. Trump knew how to beat the Democrats. Perhaps Trump has a strategy that he's shared with the Ted Cruzes, the Ron Johnsons, of how they can highlight the border crisis and then leverage it for a positive outcome. But my concern is they don't. My concern is that Republicans are going to expose this border crisis, get the news media to have to cover it, and then that's all that's going to end up doing is expediting Democrats creating red carpets into this country so that you don't have people stacked up in the cages like they are right now at the border. But we'll see. So anyway, that's the show for today. Good number of people popped in the chat tonight. Flycatch, great to have you. And Lon from Wausau, Purple Pill. Ralph, thanks for being in tonight. You guys have a great week. And we'll be back here next Sunday night. And we'll be hoping for more spring weather. And we'll be hoping for no gun control coming down the pipe here. It's going to get bad. I think this is going to get bad before it gets better. I think it's going to be, I just have a bad feeling we're going to see, I don't think we've hit the bottom yet. I think this is going to get worse. I think we're going to get gun control rammed down our throats. But we'll see what happens. Really looking forward to Trump getting back in the media and see what happens. Thank you guys. Have a great week. Be well armed.
This is Sniper Chick Julie. You've been listening to Well Armed Radio, and I have to know, is that a gun in your pants, or did you just really enjoy the show?
Stop listening to the bombastic loudmouths on the radio and television and the internet. To hell with them.